Okay, so you know how we always ask you to send us stuff to look into? Well, this time we got something pretty cool. Someone sent us some documents about this European project called the EM Consortium Project.
EM Consortium Project, okay.
And it's part of this bigger program for young entrepreneurs called the II program. So Erasmus for young entrepreneurs.
Right, Erasmus for Young Entrepreneurs. I've heard of that one.
Yeah, so we got an excerpt from like their application for EU funding. So it's like all the nitty-gritty details about what they're going to do and then like a timeline.
Oh, nice. So we can really get a sense of how it's all supposed to work in practice.
Exactly. And then we've also got like a list of all the key players involved.
Okay, so we know who's who.
Yeah. So basically, the mission for this deep dive is for you, the learner, to really understand how this whole thing is structured, what they're hoping to achieve for new and experienced entrepreneurs, both, and you know, who are the people making it all happen.
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
Okay, so right off the bat, the thing that struck me is how closely this EM Consortium project is aligned with some pretty big EU strategies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You see that a lot with these kinds of projects. They have to fit into the bigger picture.
Yeah, totally. So they mentioned things like the Small Business Act for Europe, the 2020 SME strategy, and even the EU Industrial Strategy.
So, really hitting all the major points when it comes to supporting small and medium-sized businesses.
Exactly. And it seems like they're going about it in a few main ways. One thing that really jumped out at me is how much emphasis they put on developing entrepreneurial skills, but not just in a general sense. They talk about fostering a green and digital mindset in new entrepreneurs.
That's really interesting and definitely makes sense given the EU's current priorities.
Right. It's like they're trying to equip these new entrepreneurs with the skills they need to succeed in a world that's, you know, increasingly focused on sustainability and technology.
Yeah, and you can see how that ties into the EU's own investments in those areas. The green and digital transitions are a huge focus right now.
Totally. So it makes sense that any project looking to support SMEs would have to reflect those priorities to get the backing they need.
For sure. And beyond that specific focus, they also talk about providing support for SMEs to grow in general. So helping them expand internationally and access funding.
So it's really about creating a supportive ecosystem for these businesses to thrive.
Exactly.
Okay, so with all that in mind, what's the main activity they'll actually be carrying out to make this all happen? It sounds like it's pretty hands-on.
Yeah, it is the core of their approach is setting up business exchange opportunities.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
So basically, they want to connect new entrepreneurs, let's call them NOEs for short, with experienced entrepreneurs who are already running successful businesses, the HEs, the host entrepreneurs, and these exchanges happen between different countries that are participating in the program.
So it's like a mentorship program, but on an international level.
Yeah, you could think of it that way. The idea is for the innies to get real-world experience by working alongside these HEs, seeing how they run their businesses, contributing to projects, and making connections that will hopefully last beyond the exchange itself.
That's such a cool concept, and it looks like they're aiming for a pretty impressive scale, too.
Yeah, the target they set is to facilitate 1,250 of these relationships over the course of the project,
No.
with 650 new entrepreneurs getting this experience and 620 host entrepreneurs sharing their
So
knowledge.
that's a lot of people moving around and learning from each other.
Exactly. It really shows a commitment to this model of cross-border learning and collaboration.
Okay, so it's not just about the exchange itself, right? I noticed they talk about supporting upskilling and tying everything back into those bigger European transitions. We talked about the green, digital, and sustainable ones.
Yeah, that's a key part of it. You can see how the exchange is really the engine that drives that broader upskilling. They're placing these new entrepreneurs in businesses that are already focusing on green and digital practices. So they're learning by doing and contributing to those EU objectives at the same time.
It's all very interconnected.
It is. And then to make sure that the learning sticks, they've also included things like post-exchange coaching.
That's smart because sometimes the real application of what you've learned comes after the initial experience.
Exactly. The coaching is there to help the new entrepreneurs take what they've learned and translate it into actual improvements for their own businesses.
Okay, so now let's get into the nitty-gritty. The documents you sent also had some really interesting details about the project's budget and the dynamics between the partners.
Oh, yeah, there were definitely some interesting things in there.
For sure, like the situation with ATO that really caught my eye.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
So basically, they ran into a bit of a hurdle with one of their partners, ATO, which is an organization based in Turkey.
Oh.
It turns out that at the time of the application, Turkey wasn't fully eligible to participate in this specific EU funding program for SMEs as a full partner.
Ah, so they couldn't just bring them on board as usual.
Right. So instead, ATO had to become an associated partner, which meant they couldn't get direct funding from the EU at this stage.
Oh, that's tricky. So what happened to their budget? Did they just lose out on all that money?
No, they actually came up with a pretty clever solution. So ATO's allocated budget, which was over 173,000 euros covering their personnel travel and other costs, was temporarily moved to the project coordinator, which is an organization in Italy called CSCS.
Okay, so CSCS is holding on to the money for now.
Exactly. And the really impressive part is that even though the funding situation changed, the consortium was adamant that ATO would still be involved right from the start.
That's a strong commitment.
Yeah, they're using their own resources to participate in all four of the project's work packages.
Wow, so they're basically saying, we believe in this project so much we're willing to put in the effort, even without the immediate funding?
Exactly. It's a real testament to their dedication and the consortium's commitment to having them on board.
That's really cool. Okay, so with that adjustment, did they have to make any other changes to the overall budget?
They did. They had to recalculate the total amount dedicated to what they call financial support to third parties, or FSTP for short.
FSTP. Okay, and what is that exactly?
That's basically the money that will be given as grants to the new entrepreneurs to support their exchanges.
Gotcha. So it's a big chunk of the budget.
Yeah, it is. They wanted to make sure it covered a little over half. Specifically, 50.02% of the total eligible costs for the project, which came out to be over 2 million euros.
2 million euros. Wow. So to make that work, do they have to cut back on anything else?
They did. They agreed to make small reductions in their staff costs across all the partners.
Okay, so everyone chipped in a little bit to keep the focus on supporting the entrepreneurs.
Exactly. It was a very collaborative approach.
And speaking of collaboration, how are they managing that huge FSTP budget? Who's in charge of all that money?
This is where they made another strategic decision. They decided to centralize the entire FSTP budget with the Chief Operating Officer, or COO.
The COO, okay. And which organization are they with?
They're part of the coordinating organization CSCS in Italy.
Right, CSCS. So it makes sense to keep it all together.
Yeah, and they had a few reasons for choosing this approach. One of the main ones was to save costs by streamlining the financial management and payment processes for the new entrepreneurs.
That makes sense. Less admin work usually means lower cost.
Exactly. And they also pointed out that it would improve quality control and data management.
How so?
Well, by having all the financial information related to the exchanges in one place, it's easier for everyone to keep track of everything and make sure the money is being used correctly.
Makes sense. A centralized system can definitely make things more transparent.
Exactly. And on top of that, they're really leveraging CSCS's experience here. They've been managing these kinds of EYE actions for 10 years, so they have a lot of expertise.
That's a huge advantage.
Yeah, they even have a common online system that all the partners can use to see the status of each exchange and track the finances.
So everyone's on the same page.
Precisely.
Okay, so CSCS is basically acting as the central financial hub for all those entrepreneurs' grants. What exactly will their COO be responsible for?
They have quite a few responsibilities, actually. They'll be monitoring all the exchanges that each partner is setting up on a daily basis.
Okay, so keeping a close eye on things.
Yeah. And they'll also be the ones who organize the initial allocation of the grant money once an exchange is finalized.
So making sure the funds get where they need to go.
Right. And on top of that, they'll be doing monthly checks on all the ongoing exchanges to make sure the quality standards are being met and the payments are being handled correctly.
So really making sure everything's running smoothly.
Exactly. And they'll also be the main point of contact for any grant-related questions from the new entrepreneurs themselves.
So a one-stop shop for all things financial.
Basically, it's a big job, but it sounds like they're well equipped to handle it.
Yeah, it seems like they're really trying to create a robust and reliable system.
They are.
Okay, so moving on from the FSTP, what about other parts of the budget, like travel costs? I noticed there was a significant decrease there.
Oh, yeah, that was a smart move on their part. They managed to bring the travel costs down from 120,000 euros to just 35,200.
Wow, that's a huge saving. How did they do that?
They realized that they could schedule some of their in-person partner meetings to coincide with network meetings that were already being organized by the European Commission.
Ah, so killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly. And that freed up a lot of money, which they then reallocated to staff costs and something they call other goods, works, and services.
Okay, other goods, works, and services. What does that cover?
In this case, they're using that money to support a big international promotion and dissemination event for the project.
Ah, so getting the word out there.
Yeah, it's a great way to maximize their resources.
Totally. And what about ATO's original budget for travel and other costs? Since they're an associated partner for now, where did that money go?
That's all been incorporated into the CSCS budget for now under those same categories: other goods, works and services, and travel.
Okay, so it's there if and when ATO becomes a full partner.
Exactly. It's like they're keeping it safe and ready to be used.
Smart thinking. So, with all that in mind, what's the average amount of financial support that each new entrepreneur can expect to get?
Based on our calculations, it works out to about 3,517.52 euros per exchange.
Okay, that's helpful to know. And lastly, on the budget front, they also allocated some funds specifically for promoting the project, right?
Yeah, they did. Each partner gets 11,000 euros to develop promotional materials and organize events, and CSCS, as the coordinator, gets a bit more since they're managing ATO's share for now.
Okay, so that's for things like the website, social media campaigns, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they're also planning 4 on-site promotional events throughout the project, plus that big international event that CSCS is organizing.
So a real multi-pronged approach to get the word out.
Exactly. They need to attract both the new entrepreneurs who want to participate and the experienced entrepreneurs who are willing to host them.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the people behind all of this, the consortium itself. It sounds like it's a pretty diverse group.
Yeah, it is. There are 10 partners in total from all across Europe.
Okay, who are they?
So we have CSCS, the coordinator from Italy. Then there's ADs from France, Decapolis from Cyprus Asset Tech from Greece, ADO from Turkey, who we've already talked about, HKCR from the Czech Republic, IPP from Romania, Abu Plus from Germany, Camara Municipal de Lisboa from Portugal, and MWCB from Spain.
Wow, that's a lot of different countries represented.
It is, and that geographical diversity is really important for making those cross-border exchanges happen.
Totally. And it's not just a bunch of newcomers either, right?
Yeah.
Many of these partners have been involved with the IY program for a while now.
Yeah, that's one of the things that really impressed me about this consortium. They have a lot of experience under their belts.
Like, how much experience are we talking?
Well, CSCS, the coordinator, has been there since the very beginning, since cycle one of the IWAY program back in 2009.
Wow, so they've seen it all.
Pretty much. And then you have IPP, who's been involved since 2008, Asset Tech since 2011, Decapolis since 2014, and even ATO, despite their current status, has 10 years of experience with the program.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about a group of rookies here.
Not at all. This is a team of seasoned veterans who really know how this program works.
And that experience must be so valuable when it comes to navigating all the complexities of a project like
Oh, absolutely. They've seen the challenges. They know what works and what doesn't. It's a huge asset.
Totally. And it looks like their past performance has been recognized too.
Yeah, several of them have achieved best performer status in previous cycles of the IY program, which is a pretty big deal.
That's impressive. So beyond their experience with the IY program specifically, what kind of expertise do these partners bring to the table?
They have a really good mix of skills that complement each other perfectly.
Yeah. Like what?
Well, they have expertise in things like business support services, SME development, internationalization, and entrepreneurship training.
So everything a new entrepreneur would need to succeed.
Exactly. They've got all the bases covered.
And it's not just the main partners either, right? There are also these associated partners. What
Yeah.
role will they be playing?
So the associated partners are more focused on specific tasks like promoting the IYE program in their own regions and providing support based on their particular areas of expertise.
Okay, so they're kind of like an extension of the core team.
Yeah, you could think of it that way. They help to expand the reach of the project and bring in additional resources.
That's cool. So it's a real network of organizations all working together.
It is.
Okay, so now let's talk about how they're actually going to manage this whole thing. It sounds like they have a pretty clear structure in place.
Yeah, they do. They've divided the project into 4 main work packages, which are basically like the major areas of activity.
Okay, and who's in charge of making sure everything stays on track?
They have a two-tiered governance structure.
Two-tiered. What does that mean?
So at the top level, they have a steering committee with representatives from each of the full partners.
Okay, so they're responsible for the big picture stuff.
Exactly. They oversee the overall coordination and make the strategic decisions.
And what about the second tier?
That's the scientific committee, which is made up of experts from both the full and associated partners.
So they provide the technical guidance.
Yeah, they make sure the project is scientifically sound and that the activities are aligned with the objectives.
That's a good balance. I think strategic oversight and expert input.
I agree. And they've also made it clear that they want to make decisions by consensus whenever possible.
Oh, that's good. So everyone has a voice.
Yeah, they believe in collaboration and open communication.
But what if they can't reach a consensus on something?
In those cases, the project coordinator, CSCS, has the final say.
Okay, so there's a mechanism in place to prevent any gridlock.
Exactly. It ensures that the project can keep moving forward.
Makes sense. And how will they keep everyone in the loop since the partners are spread out across different countries?
They'll be having regular online meetings every 2 months.
Okay, so virtual check-ins to discuss progress and any challenges?
Yeah, and they'll also have 8 face-to-face meetings throughout the project.
That's important, too. I think those in-person interactions can really strengthen relationships.
Definitely. It helps build trust and makes it easier to work together effectively.
Okay, so now let's talk about impact. What are they hoping to achieve with all of this?
One of their main goals is to make sure that entrepreneurs from underrepresented countries get a fair chance to participate.
Okay, which countries are considered underrepresented in this context?
They specifically mention France, Germany, the Czech Republic, and Turkey.
Interesting. And have they been successful in reaching those countries in the past?
They have, actually. In the previous cycle, they managed to get almost 20% of the new entrepreneurs from those countries.
Wow, so they're already exceeding their target.
They are, and for this project, they're aiming for 20%, which translates to about 250 relationships.
Okay, so a continued focus on inclusivity.
Exactly, and they're planning to achieve this through targeted communication campaigns specifically designed for those countries.
So making sure the information gets to the right people.
Yeah, and they'll also be leveraging their existing network of partners to help facilitate those cross-country connections.
So really making the most of their resources.
They are. And beyond geographical representation, they also have specific goals related to the types of businesses they want to support.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing something about that. What are they focusing on?
They want to facilitate 250 exchanges that are focused on sustainable or green business models, and another 250 that are focused on digital business models.
So really aligning with those key EU priorities.
Exactly. They're trying to support the businesses that are going to shape the future of the European economy.
It's all very strategic.
It is.
Okay. So lastly, let's talk about the timeline. It sounds like some of these partners have been involved for a really long time.
Yeah, we've already talked about how CSCS has been coordinating the EYE program since 2009, and many of the other partners have also been involved across multiple cycles.
Right, so they have a lot of experience to draw on.
Yeah, and the timeline for this specific project is pretty comprehensive. It covers everything from the initial setup to the final evaluation.
Okay, so what are some of the key milestones?
Well, first, they have to finalize all the agreements and set up the committees. Then they'll start working on their country-specific promotion plans and recruiting both new and host entrepreneurs.
So getting everything in motion.
Exactly. And of course, a big part of the timeline is dedicated to the actual exchanges themselves. So the selection process, the matching the exchanges themselves, and then the ongoing support and monitoring.
And they'll be having those regular meetings throughout the process too, right?
Yes, both online and in person.
So a very well-structured and thought-out plan.
Definitely. It seems like they've really learned from their past experiences and they're putting that knowledge to good use.
That's great to hear. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the EM Consortium project, what are the key takeaways for you, the learner?
I think the main takeaway is that this is a highly experienced and well-organized consortium that's serious about boosting entrepreneurship in Europe. They've shown a commitment to adapting to challenges, and they're strategically aligned with the EU's priorities for the future.
Absolutely. And for you, the learner understanding initiatives like this is crucial for understanding how economic development and support for small businesses actually happens in Europe.
Yeah, it shows you the importance of collaboration, cross-border partnerships, and the role of the EU in fostering innovation and growth.
Totally. And all of this leads to a really interesting question that I want to leave you with, the learner.
Okay, what is it?
Given all the complexities of managing a huge multinational project like this with ambitious goals and limited resources, what do you think will be the biggest hurdles for the EM Consortium project?
That's a good question.
And do you think their approach of centralized management, particularly when it comes to the finances, will help them overcome those hurdles, or could it potentially create new ones?
It's definitely something to think about. There are always trade-offs to consider, and it'll be interesting to see how they navigate those challenges.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's something for you, the learner, to ponder as you continue to explore the world of European entrepreneurship and innovation.
Definitely food for thought.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.
See you then.